Hi, it's Garen with Shamrock Roofing and Construction. Need a new roof fast? Consider Shamrock Roofing and Construction. Our rapid repair team will get you a quote within 24 hours and will always repair before we replace. One call does it all. ShamrockRoofer.com.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Happy holidays to everyone. We're on our last show of 2023, just letting you know that we're going to take a break the next 2 weeks since it's the holiday period, and I'll be back the 1st of January starting my 34th year on radio, which is blowing my mind. I've been around that long, but ending our 33rd year today, and love doing this show every week. You know, we talk about mindsets, attitudes, sportsmanship, relationships, the mental side of sports, how you focus under pressure, what does stress do to you when you're playing, the coach-athlete relationship. We talk about how to win, how to lose, positively in a confident way. You know, I'm the author of a book, co-author of the book, Just Let Them Play, Guiding Parents, Coaches, and Athletes Through Youth Sports. And, you know, I've been had the privilege to work with so many athletes throughout my career. In the 43 years I've been working as a sports psychologist, I've been the Olympic team psychologist with the cycling team back in the 80s, KU's first sports psychologist. I've worked at Kansas City Comets, the Royals, currently the sports psychologist for the Kansas City Current of the NWSL. And, you know, I do this show because we talk about mindsets, we talk about relationships, we talk about sports. What does sports do for us positively and or negatively? And, you know, throughout my career, I've had the privilege to know so many people, so many great people, some not so great, but most of them pretty good. And one of the great people decided to get up this morning early and join me in the studio. His name is Calvin Thompson. If you're a Kansas basketball fan, you know who Calvin is. He holds the Big 8 record. And they always have this record, Calvin, because there's no more Big 8. The Big 8 record for 33 free throws in a row back when I knew him in 19. That was 83-84, right?
Correct.
Calvin played in the Final Four in 86 under Coach Brown. And we've stayed in touch over the years. And he's a very proud graduate of Wyandotte High School. And he ran into me last week. I had the privilege to go up to the KU-MU game, which is a fun game to see. If you're a Kansas fan, Missouri fan, maybe not so much, but nonetheless, it's a great game. And Calvin's in the studio today to talk about a project for his high school, Wyandotte High School, celebrating 20 championships. So let's talk about it. Calvin, first of all, thanks for getting in here, my friend. I know it's early. Now you had to get up. I do this every week. So, you know, you can get up once in a while, get up. I know you don't listen to me that much on the radio anymore because you heard me too much over the years.
Well, no, I appreciate you having me here, Doc. But I probably would have been better off staying up instead of trying to get some sleep last night. So, yes, I'm very excited about this project. What we have going here, Wyandotte Basketball 20 and Counting, celebrating and honoring the players and coaches from 20 years. Obviously, the first 4 years of 23, 30, 33, and 41 aren't here, but starting with the 57 teams, we will have some live presentation at the dinner. And it simply started out as a dinner just to bring the guys back to help show the current players and coaches up at Wyandotte now how prideful they should be of putting that uniform on. And it's taken a turn for the better, as we'll get into a little later on. But I'm excited to be able to bring all the alumni back together.
So what brought this on? How did this get going? Because this is a big project, obviously, in trying to bring players back for many, many years to get together.
Yeah, I mean, the last few years I've been trying to get back and get more involved in Wyandotte County, hanging out with the Monarchs over there and the Legends Field and visiting with the mayor and whatnot. And like I said, my high school principal, Tom Rome, passed September 7th. So I spent a lot of time up at the school prior to that and taking him around because we knew his days were numbered. We didn't know when, as we never do. But just, you know, reaching out to the mayor and the superintendent, and they're opening up their doors, Memorial Hall, to let me have his memorial service there. So I, walking around the halls of Wyandotte, I'm like, hey, we need to bring the pride back. And it simply came about. Ebony Halliburton, assistant coach at K-State basketball, was visiting with my now assistant, Dave Hayden. And he was like, you know, he really would like to do something for Wyandotte if he can only get in touch with Calvin Thompson. And she looked at him and she said, Pony.
And that's your nickname.
My nickname is Pony. And she said, I have him on speed now. And he's like, get out of here. So she connected the two of us. And I was like, wow, what a perfect match. I've already been working on putting some history together to connecting the dots, if you may, for Wyandotte. So let's visit. So we met and he told me what he wanted to do. And I told him what I had been working on. And we like, let's start off with the dinner. And we did that. And we set up a dinner to be held January 13th at the cafeteria at Wyandotte High School. And what we're doing is creating 20 documents to be hung on the wall. They're going to be mounted. As soon as you enter the gymnasium, they'll start displaying the signs of the 20 state championships dating back to 1923. And so we got permission from the superintendent, the principal of the school, and everybody, the head custodian. We went up there and showed them what we wanted, everything mounted. And then a good friend of mine, Josh Wade, most of you guys know from documentaries 30 for 30 and this and that. And he said, Calvin, get your daughter on a Zoom call. And so my daughter, Taylor, she's a film major at KU, a senior film major. I'm proud papa. She did most of the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Jake from State Farm commercials this summer, and excited about the two that's going to debut on.
Do you have a Mahomes jersey?
She said that was actually her favorite when they did it up at Blue Valley West High School. So she said it's going to be a couple more new ones coming out on Christmas, so I'm looking forward to seeing those.
So let me interrupt you for a second. This is a great idea and a great way to tribute your high school. Did some of this come from looking at those banners up in Allen Fieldhouse? Did any of that, did that sort of trigger an idea in your mind? Because that's such an incredible place, as you and I both know.
The initial thought did not, but now as we will go deeper into what I'm doing, yes, we're going to, you know, after this dinner is taking place, we talking about Josh Wade, when he said, Calvin, Wyandotte basketball is huge. I was like, I know. He's like, no, you don't know how big this is. He said, why don't you look into turning it into a documentary? So now, excuse me, we've gone from a dinner to simply be recognized and honor the players and coaches to a full documentary. And now, to get to your point about the banners in Allen Fieldhouse, Wyandotte, we just been surpassed as the top school in the U.S. with the most state championships by the team in Dunbar, in D.C. We talk about the banners. My principal gave me my high school jersey. I'm like, why are you giving me my jersey? He's like, because we never retired jerseys here, and yours should be retired. And I'm like, wow. So I'm going to create a Hall of Fame, Wall of Fame. We're going to start retiring jerseys, and all this come about just by wanting to bring back pride and feeding the guys and introduce them some of the players that's won the previous championships.
So let me ask you, you know, you and I have known each other for 40 years. I was KU's first sports psychologist and had the privilege to work with the basketball team a couple of years, and, you know, saw you make 33 free throws in a row. Like I said, always will be a Big 8 record because no more Big 8, but nonetheless, a heck of a record as it was. Basketball has been your life. I mean, your father passed away watching you play in Allen.
My first college game.
Yeah, your very first college game, which just tragically happened, and nonetheless, you survived it and went through it. And, you know, you see other players now, like K.J. Adams' mom just passed away. I don't know if you've been in touch with him or not, but just the sport of any sport, let alone the sport of basketball, involves so much camaraderie, so much teamwork, so much together. You guys have to trust each other and work together. So the teams you played on, not just in high school, but collegiately and then after, you maintain relationships with a lot of those people, don't you?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I was, wow. If you think back to my freshman year, we're visiting with Wyandotte High School alumni yesterday, and Kerry Boagney's name come up. I hit speed down. Now he's in the conversation. So, I mean, we touch base weekly with the guys that we played with, even the guys that transferred after Coach Brown came in town. So, yes.
Yeah, and the sport of basketball, and I've worked with basketball players, as you know, my whole career. Obviously, I'm a lot shorter than pretty much everybody work with. But it the trust level has to be there on the court, and that transfers to off the court as well, right? So you maintain these relationships with these guys long after you play.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, there's nothing like the relationships that are formed through sports. I am good friends with Derek Chivas, just obviously with the KU-Missouri game. You know, we've been on the phone a lot lately. Lynn Hardy's just had a birthday the other day. We're wishing him happy birthday. Percy Eddie from K-State, Mitch Richmond, Rock, although he was after me, we formed a relationship during the pro days. Matt Clark, I talk to him weekly down in Oklahoma City. You know, the guys from Oklahoma, I mean, it's nothing like the relationships that are formed in with your own teammates. You have to have that trust factor because, I mean, Turch, he knew where I was going to be, or Cedric knew where I was going to be on the wing, or when they got in trouble, they would just throw it up, I would go get it. And so you have to be able to trust each other, so, well, similar to Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes.
It's yeah, I mean, I had the privilege to sit on the bench that year watching everything pretty up close, and you're right. And so this whole program you're putting on for Wyandotte has a lot to do with that, right, about just developing relationships. And what you've seen, your high school has a tremendous amount of pride. The history there is incredible. Like, you know, my high school, Shawnee Mission North, we won 3 state titles in football when I was there, lost 1 game. I just was with a friend of mine I grew up with, played on the teams last weekend. And we talked about that. I didn't play football, but, you know, he did. And just about, the, you know, how he's stayed in touch with so many people. So when you're on a team, you develop these relationships. You have to have that trust level when you're out there on the court, because if you don't, what happens?
Well, you're not very good. You know, you're the KU football team in the early 80s. You're K-State basketball back in, whenever. No, that was a joke. You're not very good.
There are K-State people that listen to this program, so that'd be
nice.
I know.
I'm just teasing. It can get worse for Missouri, but...
No, but seriously, you're the program about Wyandotte High School that you're putting on here, 20 national or 20 state championships, and you said you've just been surpassed by one school back in Washington, D.C. The coach, Walt Shublin, let's talk about him.
Yeah, and a lot of people think I play for Coach Shublin. I am not that old. I play for Coach Springs and Coach Shaplinski. So Coach Shublin really got Wyandotte on the map. With history, I mean, he ran off, you know, 5 in a row, 7 in a row, 10 in a row. So he's responsible for a great deal of this history. A lot of guys that played for him with, you know, with Lucius Allen back in the day, and then following in his footsteps was, we're connecting the dots again, Donald Upson. He was my elementary school principal and my junior high principal. I never knew he had went to Wyandotte. So they were looking for a coach. He was a principal. He ended up coaching for a year, winning in 1970 before Shaplinski took over. And but Shublin is legendary. He's the one that helped to put Wyandotte on the map. And then Coach Stewart over at Missouri, which I just recently found out, had taken him in to coach the freshman team over there. And so he left Wyandotte, went over to the collegiate ranks for a while before coming back here to KCK.
My guest today is Calvin Thompson, you know, Kansas University basketball, great player, and he's putting on a program called Wyandotte Basketball 20 and Counting Foundation. It's a program to honor Wyandotte High School in the 20 championship, state championships they've had. If you'd like to give us a call, touch base with us. Our phone number is 913-381-1810. And we're going to talk a little bit about basketball, about teamwork in our next segment. And I want to, you know, one of the things, Calvin, I want to get into, you played in the Final Four, you played professional, you've played, you know, been through all of it. You've been through some good coaches, some great coaches, some bad coaches. I want to talk about the mental side on our next segment before we get more into your program, and just why, you know, I always like to say you can have two athletes who are physically the same, but they want the stronger mind to come out on top. What is a stronger mind? So we're going to go our commercial break now, come back. And we'll get into these discussions. And my guest, as I said, is Calvin Thompson, Wyandotte High School, Kansas basketball great. He's putting on a program called Wyandotte Basketball 20 and Counting. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment for us. Our phone number is 913-381-1810. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Happy holidays to you. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. As you know, I'm here every week talking about the mental side of sports. And as I said, this will be our last show of 2023. We're going to take a two-week break with the holidays and start my 34th year of radio at the beginning of January next year. And today I'm privileged to have as my guest Calvin Thompson, Kansas University basketball great, who got to know me back in 1983 when I was K's first sports psychologist. I had the privilege to work with the basketball team and spent a lot of time working on the mental side of sports. Calvin, you remember when I did my visualization exercise?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that was one of the first times I did that with the team. And for people who don't know, you know, visualization in sports has become very popular now. But back when I was doing this, most people hadn't heard of it before. And, you know, I talk about physically and mentally relaxing yourself, getting yourself in the right frame of mind. I have an exercise where you go through a breathing exercise, then a muscle tightening, loosening exercise, and a confidence building section. Why don't you tell everybody about how we got started with that? Because I know everybody was like, what is this? You know?
Well, I mean, we talk about beginning with the end in mind. And so you have to visualize hitting the winning jump shot, hitting the winning free throw, or winning the championship, or being a part of a team. You have to see something before it happens. And you hear so many great players talk about they've been here before, they've seen it before, and it's a mind game. And if you're not mentally strong, then like I said, a lot of times you're going to lose. And I tell, when I have my youth program and the players that I've played with, you have to have that edge, because you're going to run up against someone who's just as big as you are, stronger as you are, faster than you. So you got to have the edge, and you have to beat them above the neck, and meaning you have to use your head. You have to have that mind game, that mental aspect of the game.
So, you know, when I work with the team, most of you guys had no clue what I was there to do. And then we started getting involved with visualizing and working on that. How did that help you? How did that benefit you?
It helped because it, excuse me, it by us laying on the floor, visualizing we're on a beach or doing somewhere else or somewhere just to relax, to get our minds right.
And you guys did that in the locker room, in the bathroom, on the shower,
exactly,
on the floor in the shower.
Exactly, because it wasn't what it is today. And that's all we had. But it worked for us. I mean, after we got past the little silliness of closing our eyes and, you know, guys doing what guys do, and it started to work. We start seeing actions and reactions from making free throws, consecutive free throws in a row. Like I was just telling you guys about my poor free throw shooting in high school, and I needed you at that time. I needed that summer. I started shooting jump shots because I was a good jump shooter, but I was a poor free throw shooter. So I would back up a little further from the free throw line and shoot jump shots. But for me to close my eyes and visualize me making a game winner, or to tie it up, or whatever the case may be, it helped us to see, it helped us to focus. And then we started adding it to other aspects of our game.
You know, when I first started working in 1981, basically no one had heard of sports psychology. And so I had I got hired by the KU track coaches, Bob Timmons and Carla Coffey, $5 a day in December of 81. It was my first full-time job. And, one day a week, and we ended up winning the Big Eight indoor and outdoor titles. Doubled my salary to $10 a day, plus lunch the next week.
Plus lunch.
And then I was able to get hired to work with all the teams, which is when I met you. But Coach Brown was open to letting me be with the team. Had some great coach, obviously John Calipari, R.C. Buford, Bob Hill, Ed Manning, you know, Danny's dad. They were all open to letting me do my thing. And what I found was, you know, yeah, at first you guys were like, oh, what is this? I don't know about a shrink, talk to us. But then you guys opened up and accepted what we were doing, and things worked. We ended up winning the Big Eight that year. Yeah. And I think one of the things, if you take the, you know, I always like to say you can have two athletes who are physically the same, but the one with a stronger mind will come out on top. What is a stronger mind for you? What do you see that being?
Well, you have to be a student of the game. Regardless of your sport, you have to know your history. And part of what I'm doing with my project here is knowing your history. If you have to study your opponents, you have to study the game. You have to know when and why. And Kobe Bryant talked about it a lot, you know, leading up to his passing. He talked about the minor aspect of the game and to knowing and knowing, you know, as soon as that ball leaves his hand, it's mine, because you can't go down and come up at the same time. So it was timing it and watching people and see their habits. And so you have to be able to outsmart them.
You know, one of the questions I always ask all my clients in the first couple sessions, do you know what record Kobe Bryant broke 2 years before he retired? You know what it was?
No.
Most missed shots in the history of the NBA.
Wow.
And then he played 2 more years. So, as a former professional basketball player yourself, a college star, what does that mean? What do you think that meant, that he missed more shots than anybody?
No.
But you know, we'll probably always have that record. What did that mean to him up here in his head?
He wanted that pressure, though. You have to know him. He is just like George Brett or any of the big-time hitters. They struck out the most. They wanted that pressure. He wanted the shot. He watched. Guys are like, hey, why aren't you passing the ball? No, I'm not selfish. I watched his practice habits. I'm taking this shot. I'll trust me. And so I don't think it bothered him as much as it would most people, because he was the strongest outside of MJ. We're talking eras. I don't want to get into that, who's the greatest, because when you're talking about the greatest, it's Wilt Chamberlain.
Right. Well, you got a bias there too, but I agree. Yeah. But see, I think when it comes to that situation, I think he wasn't afraid to miss.
No, not at all.
There was no fear in his mindset when he played, because he went for, I remember 2009, I flew out to Los Angeles, and I changed planes in Dallas. It was Game 7 of the NBA Finals between the Celtics and Lakers. And I watched most of the first half at the Dallas airport before I flew to L.A., and the Celtics were way up at halftime. Kobe scored, I think, 4 or 6 points in the first half, and I got to L.A. The pilot comes on, home of the NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. I'm like, wow, they came back. Then the next day I listened to an interview with Kobe, and he talked about in the locker room. You know, he went in after Phil Jackson went through, you know, strategies and things. They had personal time, and he sat at his locker and he said, you know, I'm thinking, why am I missing? Is it stress? Am I trying too hard? No, I'm just missing. So what I need to do the second half, be a better teammate, pass better, guard better, get more assists, and just keep shooting. And he scored 20-something points. They won. What's that saying to you about the mindset?
Yeah, I mean, find another way to win. You got to get your teammates involved. Keep them happy. Get them involved, and then your shots will come back. I mean, that's just like guys are go 0-7, 0-8. It's like he needs to get to the free throw line and see something easy go in there. You have to want to keep shooting the ball.
Failure. In sports, it happens no matter what. I mean, the greatest NCAA championship final individual performance was by Bill Walton, and I believe it was 72 or 73, missed one shot. Didn't make them all. No, they were undefeated, won the whole thing. But you didn't make every shot. So what do you say to young people? Because you see a lot of people, when they miss a shot, hang their head, get down in the dumps, and then, boom, they're done for the game. How do you coach a young person about failure, about losing, about missing, about messing up?
Again, you got to stay even keel. You cannot – I tell them, guys, I say, I don't want to see a reaction whether you make or miss. It should be the same. You shouldn't be able to tell if you're messing up or doing something bad or off kill. Don't drop your head. Don't put your – because now you're telling yourself, I'm a failure. I'm not as good. No.
And what's that saying to the people guarding you?
Exactly. You're giving them confidence as well. He's down. Let me keep him down. Don't get him up. Don't give him a chance to get his confidence back up. So what you miss? Get back up. You got to have a short-term memory when you're playing sports, because we're not perfect. You got to make a mistake. You got to strike out. You got to miss a layup. You're going to miss a free throw. So you have to keep it going. Shake it off and knock down the next one.
You know, we've got some young guests in the studio listening today. One's a very good high school basketball player. What do you say to high school kids who are playing sports about failure? Because it happens all the time. And I don't want to get into the whole coaching aspect, because you've played for a whole bunch of different coaches. How much do coaches have an effect on that in terms of dealing with failure? Because one of the things I find with a lot of athletes that I have in my office who are in their mid-teens, when they come in that have a fear issue, a lot of it's because when they were younger, and in fact, I had somebody who was five the other day, five, had a coach yelled at him because he missed. And now he's afraid to shoot. He's a basketball player because that memory of his coach when he's five yelling at him. So what do you say? What do you say about that?
You recall back when I first started my youth program, Hoop Service, helping out other people. The parents would come to me, "Can you form a team during the winter?" I was like, "It's basketball season. My kids don't want to play for their school team." It was so many of these coaches that were running these kids away. And nowadays, you hear about, "Oh, he's a player's coach. Oh, he's a player's coach. Everybody wants to go play for him." The better coaches are giving these kids confidence. You have to put your arms. So what? You missed a shot. You have to keep going. I've seen you take that shot thousands of times. I trust you. I believe in you. So if I'm giving them the confidence to miss, they're going to go up there and knock it down for me. And I tell the guys, "Who wants to start?" Everybody raise their hand. I said, "I'm not really interested in starters. I'm interested in those five that I can trust on the floor that's going to finish the game." So, but the kids have to continue. Let your coach see you working so they can trust you at the end of the game.
My guest today is Calvin Thompson, former Kansas basketball great. He's got a program called the Wyandotte Basketball 20 and Counting Foundation. We're going to talk about that after our breaker, but I want to continue getting into our discussion right now, Calvin, about the mental aspect of sports, because you obviously learned a lot throughout your career about that. When you fail, when you miss, when you lose, how do you come back from that? What's the best way to overcome that?
Yeah, you know, you have to shake it off and, you know, learn this from you. I close my eyes and visualize. And it doesn't take 5-10 minutes. It can be 2 seconds. You have to shake it off. You got to bounce back. I've been here before. I've done this in the background, in the backyard. I've done this on the playgrounds. So I have to believe in myself. If the coaches didn't believe in me, I wouldn't be out here. So you have to shake it off. You got to get back to the fundamentals. Take a break. Take a break on shooting. Take a break on doing something that you're used to doing and pass, you know, pass the ball, get your teammates involved, and just give you a little break. You know, stay down on the defensive end of the court instead of going down to get yourself together. Take time at a free throw. So,
my producer Cavell's got a question for you. Cavell, jump in.
You want me to ask it now or when we
come back? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Excuse me.
I have a few. So let me put them together. Let me put it together, and then I'll do it this next break here.
Okay. So we'll come back to that in a sec because he wanted to ask you something. Failure in sports is inevitable. Winning is not. Okay. You played for a number of great coaches. Coach Brown obviously ended up winning a national championship at KU. He won at UCLA. He was a great coach. Traveled a lot, went to a lot of places. What was it like to play under him? Because he was a controversial guy at the same time. A lot of people didn't. You know, I loved being around there that year I was there.
Right. No, coaches, we really had to learn tough love from Coach. Because when he had come to Kansas, it was a different breed. We was
well, Ted Owens was before him.
Coach Owens recruited me as a 14-year-old out of Eisenhower. So I committed to go to KU as a 14-year-old before I went to high school. And then once I denied my commitment, once I got to high school because of my principal, he had asked me, he said, "Listen, if you're committing to KU, nobody's going to come watch your teammates play because they don't want to see you anymore because you're done." So he asked me to deny my commitment.
Really? So I didn't know that.
A lot of people are finding that out. So I opened back up my commitment, my recruiting, so that my other teammates could get seen to go to college, because he was explaining to me that there's no other way for their parents to send these kids to school. He taught me early on what it meant to be a teammate. But Coach Owens recruited me, so I'm forever Coach Owens' kid. But Coach Brown, I tell people today, despite our personal differences, and he is the best X's and O's coach that I have ever been around. the absolute.
Oh yeah, he knew it. He dreamt it. It was
Hack a Shack before Hack a Shack. I mean, we were down 13 with a little more than 2 minutes to go to Kentucky. He's like, I guarantee if you guys buy in, we'll come back and win this game. We end up losing by one, I think, by just fouling and getting possessions and doing. I mean, he knew how to draw that. Whenever there was a substitution, he would go the thumbs up. The thumbs up was a law play to me. I mean, he could pick everybody. They were up. They didn't sleep a lot. Calipari, Coach Manning, R.C. Buford. I mean, they don't realize how
that staff that year, Bob Hill, it was a great staff. So before we go to break, I want to ask you this question. Sitting on the bench, because I had that privilege to be on the bench with you guys, I think one of the greatest shots you ever made was against Oklahoma. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the three-point line didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
But we were down to Oklahoma, and you came back at the buzzer and sank a long jumper, switched it, and we went to overtime, and then Wayne and Tisdale and the boys took it to us. But pressure, okay, Calvin, you were a pressure player. You and Ron Kellogg didn't mind shooting the ball when the pressure was on. Why? Why were you not afraid to be in that situation? Because a lot of young people are scared. They don't want to be in that situation. You thrived on it.
Yeah, I talked about it prior. Ninth and Quinder on the backyard. You know, 3, 2, 1, let it go. I've been there. I've done it. You know, and it started in Colorado on the road. Last second shot, I hit a shot to win the game. And so towards the end of the game, if it was tied up or close, then coach would draw up a play for me. I remember at Iowa State, he drew up a play for Greg Dreiling. And we're down one, and he drove, and everybody go back on the court. It's like, it's going to Calvin. It's going to Calvin. So he has some choice words. I was like, it wasn't me, coach, that gave me the ball. So, but no, it was, you have to want that moment. You have to want it.
And so before we go to our break, here's the word that I want you to address, trust. What does the word trust mean in sports as you're an athlete?
We talked about that as well. You have to be able to trust it. If I watch you do it over and over again in practice, I'm going to trust you in the game. I'm going to tell my players. I'm going to put my arm around them to let them know it's coming to you. I've seen you do this 1,000 times. I trust you. I believe in you.
But how do you trust yourself? I hear what you're saying about the coach trusting you,
mm-hmm.
but how do you trust yourself to know I'm going for it. Make it or miss it, I'm going for it.
No, it's not a, I don't know if you want to say arrogance or whatever, but I've done it before. I believe in myself. I mean, that's the Kobeism. He's trusting himself. I want me. If we're going to go down, it's going to be because of my missed shot. But give me the ball.
2 years ago, I had Harrison Bucker and Tommy Townsend on a show, and they talked about that topic, about trust. And obviously, they're both doing really well, one of them especially well this year. And I think it's the trust with yourself, trust trust the process, trust what you're going to do, and that's what you're talking about here. My guest today is Calvin Thompson, having a wonderful interview with him. You know him as a Kansas basketball great. We're going to talk about, in our last segment, the Wyandotte Basketball 20 and Counting Foundation program that he's putting on to honor Wyandotte High School for their 20 national state. I keep saying national. Should have been. Anyway, 20 state championships that they've had. If you'd love to join us, question, a comment, our phone number is 913-3810-810. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. As you know, I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 to talk about the mental side of sports. And my guest today is Calvin Thompson, former University of Kansas basketball great. And he's coming to talk about, we've talked a little bit about the mental side of sports this last segment. Now we're going to finish up talking about the Wyandotte Basketball 20 and Counting Foundation that he's got going. And so 20 years of state championships at Wyandotte High School, that's quite a record. I know winning that many state championships is not a common thing for any high school, especially today, with all things going on. And Cavell's going to jump in here and ask a question in a minute, but I want to ask this question. What is it about a school and tradition that gives something like this the opportunity to exist? I mean, today we have people transferring schools, you know, well, this school, this coach isn't good, so I'm going to transfer to another school. All those years, that didn't happen. Transferring didn't go on. Right. This is something that's going to be almost impossible to happen again.
You're exactly right. I mean, nowadays we want the microwave effect, the instant gratification. They don't want to pay their dues and stay the course. They're not happy they're up and leaving. And like you said, it didn't happen. You went where you're supposed to go. I mean, back in the late 50s, early 60s, you got brothers in the same household. One had to go to Sumner and one had to go to Wyandotte because they went by the names, and people didn't realize that first name, okay, A through N, go here, and the rest of them, that was unheard of. The reason I chose KU, only thing I heard about in the fifth and sixth, seventh grade was a Jayhawk. What's a Jayhawk? Well, I want to be a part of that tradition. And you got to want it. I talk about knowing your history. I wanted to be part of that Bulldog tradition, that Bulldog history, and I definitely wanted to be a Jayhawk. I mean, I was a Jayhawk from when I first started seeing the commercials.
Your pride from your high school is obvious in listening to you talk. So the purpose of this foundation is what? What do you want to accomplish with this?
We are simply trying to, excuse me, bring back the pride, instill the pride in the wearing that uniform, that Bulldog jersey. We're going to invite the current coaching staff and players to the dinner on the 13th so they can see and hear.
Your dinner January 13th.
January 13th.
Where's it at?
At Wyandotte High School in the East Cafeteria.
And anybody can come to that?
Anybody can come. And we're doing interviews now. 41's going to be having us on. 4's going to have us on. I don't do a lot of social media, so hopefully my younger alumni can get the word out that way for me. But it's open for everyone. It's not just Wyandotte High School. Yes, we're honoring and recognizing the Bulldogs, but it's Wyandotte County that we're trying to build back up. And like I just want to show them that, hey, if Calvin can come off 9th and Cordero, you can too. You can do it. I mean, the doctor told me I would never walk again. Don't accept no. That was in the 9th grade. That's when I first got recruited from KU. When they, hey, you need to come up here. This kid's working out with a cask on, dunking with a cask on his leg. And that's when they first took notice of me. Don't accept no. You know, I went from not being able to walk again to playing 9 years professionally. No, it wasn't all in the NBA, but it's 9 years more than a lot of people. To go to KU and to play, to start 4 straight years, to leave as the number 4 leading scorer in KU history. Off of 9th and Cordero, you can do it.
Well, the pride you're showing in your statement right here is obvious to me. And, of course, I know you. But I think that shows anybody can get anything if they want it, right? Cavell, you want to jump in here and ask something?
Yeah, so I was going to ask about the state of the game, his opinion of the state of the game in general as far as the college basketball game. But you kind of touched on it a little bit with the transfer portal because, you know, this year's draft was the first time in a long time where, yeah, teams were switching teams. Matter of fact, in the draft here, overseas and G League was the main players drafted. And do you think that has something to do with the college game today, or do you think that has something to do with just people having more options, or is it both?
I think it's both. And, you know, going back to when I played, and I wasn't a big fan of professional sports because I saw the political side in it.
Yeah.
The same thing with college. I was always saying they should bring back the college rule back when Wilt played and allow freshmen to get to adapt to that college life, adapt to being away from home instead of throwing them in that limelight. Yes, you got some guys that can go straight out of high school, but the majority of us cannot. And I had the chance to play in room with Bill Willoughby, one of the first guys to go from high school to college. He broke my heart on the road. and I'm getting a little sensitive here, he would ask me to read the menu. They missed out on so much of growing up.
Because he didn't know how to read.
He couldn't read. He would always, well, dude, why are you always getting a special? And then one day in the hotel when we're waiting, he told me, I can't read the menu. So everyone has a daily special.
How did that hit you when he said that?
Hard. I mean, you see me now. I'm tearing up. I'm like, so I was always different. I'm like, we as freshmen need to be acclimated to big time. And the same thing with pro ball. I mean, I don't like the transfer portal. You commit to something, stay. If your college coach gets fired or an unforeseen health issue,
leaves.
That's a little different. Don't leave just because you can't get off the bench. Get better. Practice harder. Earn some more playing time. Don't just up and leave. Stick with it. And it's not fair to these coaches.
And, you know, Dr. Andy talks about it a lot. I think a lot of it comes from parents. Because I used to coach basketball. And in my day of coaching basketball, it was a lot of, if my son isn't the Kobe of this team or LeBron of this team, then we'll go here, 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 and here. So guys just get used to moving. They think that's what they do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You hit the nail right on the head. And I would have a parent meeting before each season, and I'd say, listen, we have four roles. You are a player, a coach, a parent, or a ref, and you can only be one. And if a parent didn't show up for my parent meetings, they had no voice. Because you're not going to come here. It's a team game. And I am proud to say, out of the 23 years of my hoop service program, I believe that I was the only youth organization to have everyone that graduated from my program, that went through high school, that graduated, went to college. Not all of them played in college, but they all got an opportunity to go to college.
We've got a few minutes left here, Calvin. Let me ask you a couple things. Obviously, I talk about the mental side of sports. How important is that? How important is the psychological aspect of what you play? I always like to say you can have two athletes who are physically the same, but the one with the stronger mind will come out on top. What's your opinion on that?
No, I think it's very important, and it helps off the court as well. I mean, you have to be prepared. You have to be able, because it was a couple situations where I got three quick fouls in the first 5 minutes. Most coaches would pull you out. Coach will look at me, I'll look at him and let him know I'm okay. My head game is strong. I know how to play without getting back in trouble again. So he trusted in me to be strong enough to stay on the court. I mean, in K-State, there was no way I had four fouls in the first half, but I played the rest of the game. And so you have to be mentally strong. You got to be able to outthink your opponent. You got to be two steps ahead of them.
I want to ask you three definitions. What's your definition of winning? Start. What's that one mean?
Wow.
Well, I got to put some pressure on you here.
No, yeah, that's pressure because it. And I don't know where you're going, but in my mind, winning is not always the final score to me. Winning is not the final score. Winning is trying. Winning is believing, belonging. It's being a good teammate. It's being a good student. Winning is my motto from my youth program to my semi-pro team that I own. It's more than just a game. It's more than just a game.
So it's effort.
It's effort. Right. It's all that, but it's not always the final score.
Losing.
Again, I tell my kids, I tell the parents, we don't lose. That's a mindset. We either win or we learn. Again, it's not about the final score. We could beat somebody by 30 points, and in my mind, I'm ripping them. Coach Self is the same way. They can go in there and get ripped. Or we, Coach Brown, how many times did we have practice after a game? After winning a game.
At midnight.
Tell me. So
I remember.
It's not all about the score, winning or losing. But
the Chiefs didn't really lose either.
Stop that.
Okay, last one, confidence.
Confidence. How you? confidence. It's that's the trust, and all that all comes together and brings the confidence. You got to have confidence to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, no one else will.
All right, Calvin, let's wrap it up here. Tell us about the program. How can people get involved? How can they help? What can they do?
Well, like you said, for now, for January 13th is going to be the dinner up at Wyandotte High School, and we're establishing a website. My website guy is coming off of vacation now, so he's actually going to get started on Christmas Day. And the website will be 20 and counting as well. So everything is going to be easy to find. Like I said, it's more than just a game. We're connecting the dots. We got Dee Wallace, the famous mother of E.T. from Wyandotte High School, Ed Asner, Mary Tyler Moore Show from Wyandotte High School. I mean, it's more than just athletes.
It's more than just the basketball team. It's about the high school and the tradition that exists there.
History. Know your history. So we're going to be out there. We're going to be on the stations getting interviewed. We're going to be doing the live interviews for the documentaries going to be taking place within the next year. It'll take a while to do the editing and all that. But my phone number has never changed. It's 816-536-HOOP. That's 4667.
Well, okay.
Hoop.
One question. Yeah. Why do you have a Missouri area code, not a Kansas area code, in your phone number?
That's because of the service.
Okay, I'm just giving you trouble. Listen, my friend Calvin Thompson has been my guest today. It's been a great interview. You know, my friend, it's always great seeing you. You coached my son Jonathan and helped him out a lot. It's great seeing you. Whatever I can do to help you out with this program, I'll do it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Hope you enjoy the show. Our shows are podcasted everywhere, especially my website, winnersunlimited.com. You always can reach me at 816-561-5556. My email is drj@winnersunlimited.com. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Listen, I hope everybody has a great holiday season. We'll be back after the first of the year, starting up my 34th year on radio. Looking forward to doing that. Looking forward to a great, great season. And hopefully have some Chiefs alumni players on as we get started next year as we get to the playoffs. Anyway, have a great offseason. Have a great holiday, everybody. Take care, and we'll talk to you beginning of January. Stay safe.